now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
We are talking about a cool fiction book set in the 1960s in Las Vegas with Gary Ribusi, who joins me to talk about his new spy fiction book, Our Man in Vegas, plus news on who may be the next Bond. You might be surprised. We go deep into my mind with another deep thought, plus the latest from the lounge and tiki scene, along with the best classic and neo lounge from across the globe, with the Blue Martinis now from Sydney. And I've actually heard a bit of a rumour that Liz Gyson, the gal behind the Blue Martinis, is set to restart the band. They haven't played for a long, long time, and word is they are getting cranked up once again. Here they are with Great City.
Today, da ba do ba.
today. Somehow you put me in.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Thanks to Ultraswank.net.
With Pink Martini's City of Night, two songs about the city. Do check out the website cocktailnation.net where you'll find everything that's going on in the Sydney penthouse and links, of course, to the archives, my books, What a Swanky Guide, and a whole lot more.
Cocktail Nation.
Gary Ribisi, with a brand new book, Our Man in Vegas. This is a cool mid-century story of intrigue. He joins me on the line. Great to talk to you, man. And I've got to tell you, I really enjoyed the book. Fantastic stuff. Well done.
Great to talk to you too, Coop. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You were part of the inspiration for it, listening to all your Spy Live episodes. So it's only right that that we talk about it here.
Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you very much for the credit at the beginning of the book. And looking through the start of the book and the very end when you do your afterword, talking about some of your inspirations, I could see straight away the term I have to use is brother from another mother, and I get to meet people just like you from all over the world doing the Cocktail Nation, which to me is one of the highlights of being able to talk to people who have the same sort of inspirations and things like that. So have you written a book before? Is this your very first venture into...
This is my third book. The other two are called... The first one is called Violence in Bloom, and the second one is called Four Flicks. And they're collections of short stories and screenplays that I've written in the past. They're not period specific as this one is. They're kind of all over the place. There's some Western stuff and that kind of stuff, and all that stuff's available on Amazon.
So with this particular book, did you approach it by doing a lot of research to nab some of these cool venues that you talked about and some of the people? How much work went into that portion of it?
Well, I lived in Vegas for about 15 years, starting in the 90s, and came home to Ohio in 2011. And while I was out there, I basically was a student of that kind of stuff. I loved the Rat Pack stuff. I was always in some smoky jazz club or listening to a Sinatra impersonator, or I hung out with Tom Jones and the Righteous Brothers, and I hung out with... one of Bobby Darin's band leaders, actually, occasionally. And so I knew a lot of the Vegas history. I was a student of that Vegas history to begin with. So I mostly cobbled it together from some of the stuff I knew. But of course, there aren't a lot of, for instance, later in the book, they're at the Las Vegas bus station or train station. And there's not a lot of information on what the bus station or train station looked like on the internet in 1961 in Las Vegas. So some stuff, there's some artistic license, but when possible, I tried to remember the grid of the city and, hey, they had to go west on Charleston to do this, or they had to go take the strip south to go to here, or whatever it is. So I tried to combine fact with a little bit of creative license on that.
Well, you certainly did well, because reading the book, I really felt that I was there. Now, I don't want to give away too much detail about the book. You're the best person to do that. Just give us a quick little summary of this story.
Well, I try to I elevator pitch it to people as if Joey Bishop had to become James Vaughn. And it's about a guy who's a nightclub comic like Joey Bishop, or you know, one of those guys, who is recruited by the CIA to help thwart a plot to assassinate Kennedy. Now, we know in the future he's not going to be 100% successful with that, but yeah, for the purposes of the book, he's successful. It's basically, he works at a hotel casino with a real right-wing... kind of rednecky cowboy guy, you know, as you used to see very prevalently out there owning casinos. And yeah, apparently that guy's mixed up into some high political intrigue. And because of his proximity to the guy, our hero, Eddie Flynn, gets called into duty reluctantly by the CIA.
I love in the book when you talk about the redneck character. Look, it's not a crime, but it probably should be.
about his political leanings and his cowboy boots. Yeah.
I love that. Look, it is a really fantastic story, and for those who love a bit of mid-century spy stuff, you will absolutely enjoy this. It's one of those books where, and you might have heard me refer to this, Gary, a few times on the show when I talk about the time machine of your mind, and this is a good example of it. And I love the fact that at the end of the book you talk about, you're very blunt, you say, look, I'm a hack, I have no delusions of literary grandeur, I write stories, man, my goal is not to impart some great philosophical wisdom to you, I just want to say cool stuff, I want to entertain you, and that's exactly what you've done.
Well, I appreciate it. I wanted to capture the swank essence of the spy stuff that you play on your show and that I'm, have been into. I'm currently going through some of the James Bond movies for the 900th time, and I always really enjoy that stuff. And I'm hoping to tell more stories with this character, Eddie Flynn. I'm actually going to try and write two of them next year and knock them out by the end of next year. So I wanted something that was easy to read. I wanted it to have the feel of one of those old pulp novels. So if you pick it up on Amazon, a physical copy, you can see, that it's a very short book, very easy to read. Somebody said it was a great Friday night read or a great beach read or a great airplane read, which is high praise for me. My first two books were over 500 pages just because I'm so full of it. But this one, I wanted something where we get in and get out before people go, oh, I'm still reading this. So that was kind of my goal with this.
And historically, too, this is kind of an interesting book in that, a fair bit of it you've written during the COVID period as well. So was that because of maybe having some extra downtime to spend some time on the book?
Actually, I had less downtime with the work I've been doing at my day job, but it was terrible. The first 2 months of this pandemic, I couldn't even concentrate to read a book, much less write one. And I was like 20 pages from the end of my first draft and couldn't finish it to save my life. But I was, blocked as, I'm sure you've experienced the same thing when you're writing.
Yeah. You just don't know where to go.
I got sick of it. Yeah. And one day I just got sick of myself and just said, okay, we're going to start at page one and start rewriting and get a little momentum going and knocked the rest of this book out. And, through sheer force of will, I made it happen. So I'm just as proud of this book, which is clocks in around 80 pages, 70 to 80 pages, as I am of the 500-page books that I've written in the past, because I went through so much to get it to come out the way I wanted it. I'm really proud of the way it came out.
Well, you should be, because it's a fantastic book. Best place to grab it, I gather, is Amazon. You're up there. Are you on any other platforms?
Not at the moment. It just came out on like the 4th or 5th of September.
Okay.
So right now it's just on Amazon, but it's possible that it came out on some other like bookstores on the Amazon marketplace. That I don't know.
But check out
Amazon
anyway.
Because I know when
anyway.
I publish my first, Amazon is the best place to get it.
Our man in Vegas, Gary Ribisi, thank you so much for your time. A wonderful read, and I know that listeners of the Cocktail Nation are absolutely going to dig this, so check it out. Good to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you, Coop. Stay swank.
Cocktail Nation. Hello there.
The Cocktail Nation. Music for your bachelor pad.
We'll be right back. www.cocktailnation.net.
Earl Hagen, There's No Escape, inspired by Earl Hagen, after our conversation with one Jason Whiten last week in our special segment from spyvibe.com. And Hugo Montenegro with Solo Bossa Nova on the Cocktail Nation. Now, a little while ago, I was talking about our special series, Anatomy of a Lounge Lothario, and I revealed last week that we are starting another one. This one is going to be called Anatomy of a Fictional Lounge Lothario. And it's all going to be some of the fictional characters that are great lounge Lotharios in movies and TV and books and things like that. So I'd love to hear your suggestions of who do you think might make the list. So far, I've got James Bond, Catcher Block, and numerous others, but I'd love to hear from you as to who you might think, or a movie, book, TV show, could actually be part of the list. And the plan is to get that up and running for 2021. Certainly, if you've got some suggestions, I'd love to hear from you, thecocktailnation@gmail.com. That's the best way to email me. And of course, you can reach me via the social medias, and links are on my website to get in touch with me, cocktailnation.net. Here's the Tiki Torches.
across North America, this is the Cocktail Nation.
And Toast on the Cocktail Nation. I was checking out Lushy's Facebook page to see what they've been up to, and yeah, just like many bands, sadly there's been no activity at all performing live since February. It's a frustrating time, and I must say I personally feel frustrated that there hasn't been more going on. And look, I mean, that's the reality for everybody with the old COVID on the go. But yeah, it's disappointing, because it feels like kind of things have sort of ground to a halt in the lounge and tiki scene, but yeah, that's the same for everybody. So I guess we just plow on, I suppose. But one thing that is constantly going is Lounge Life magazine. I've got links on my website, cocktailnation.net. It is a Flipboard magazine. So it's an app and it performs much like a magazine. The great thing is I can add things to it on a regular basis. New stories that I come across are added there. For example, Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion has, sadly been left to rot. It's been stripped by looters since his death in 2017. Now, the Playboy magazine founder sold the Los Angeles mansion before he died, but was allowed to continue living there until his death at the age of 91. The famous Party Palace is undergoing major renovations as its new owner tries to get it back to a livable state. It was sold for $100 million in 2016 under the condition that the Playboy founder could continue to live there for the rest of his life and to rent it. The pool where Hugh Hefner held his wild parties has been drained. The grounds have been torn up and the mansion is clad with scaffolding. It looks like a complete rebuild. And sources have claimed that looters actually raided the mansion and stripped it bare after Hefner died, with pieces of the masonry even being chipped away for souvenirs. Aren't people horrible? Another interesting story, of course, is that Daniel Craig will be leaving as James Bond very soon. I think he's got one more picture left in him. And there's been a lot of speculation as to who will take over the mantle of James Bond. And I was pleased to see, we've got this story up in Lounge Life magazine, that Henry Cavill is being considered as a possible replacement. And I think he'd make a fantastic James Bond. I mean, if you think about him in Man from U.N.C.L.E., or even in the Mission Impossible series most recently, where he played a CIA agent, I think he'd be quite good. There's only one problem. He's a bit too Superman in many respects. I don't know whether he can pull it off. But still, not a bad choice. Another actor being considered is Tom Hardy. One person I've always thought would make a great James Bond is Hugh Jackman. And I know it's been a while since we've had an Australian as James Bond, and it didn't quite work out the way the owners of the franchise thought it would actually work out. But I reckon Hugh Jackman could really pull it off. But I don't know whether he's being considered. I don't think he is. But I think he'd be a good one. So James Bond people, if you're listening, Hugh Jackman, an Aussie, give it a go.
On the cocktail nation, coupe goes deep.
Lawyers hope you get sued. Doctors hope you get sick. The police hope you're a criminal. And mechanics hope that you have car trouble. But only a thief wishes prosperity for you.
Very deep. Cocktail nation.
Thank you.
Twitter handle, Cocktail Nation. Follow the lounge leader today.
Just got the nod from my baby. She's gonna be keeping our day. She says that she can't wait to see me, and my baby comes around at 8. I've been such a mess here without her. I've been such a sorry state. But now the world is my oyster, and my baby comes around at 8. Oh, I'd sell my shoes to give her all she wants. But we ain't spending time in fancy restaurants. No, she's happy loving me at home. And tonight's the night I plan on making her all my own. I hear the bell ringing, lights are low and I feel great. And now I can hear my heart singing, 'cause my baby comes around at 8. Darling, I'd sell my shoes just to give you all you want. And it breaks my heart to know I can't take you to all those fancy restaurants. But you're happy loving me at home. And tonight's the night I'm gonna try to make you all my own. What's that? I hear the bell ringing, lights are low and I feel great. And now I can hear my heart singing, 'cause my baby comes around at 8.
Cocktail Nation with Indigo Swing and My Baby Just Cares For Me. Now, as a result of COVID and there being very, very few events on at the moment, I thought to myself, it's not really worth doing a World of Swank gig guide at the moment until things start to open up. There have been a couple of things that are on the go, like Arizona Tiki Oasis in October. We know Tiki Oasis rescheduled for August of 2021. And it looks like Tiki Caliente may go ahead October 1. I thought, one of the things that I've been doing is there's been no events on. I mean, I still go out. And in fact, just last night, I went out and caught up with a friend of mine for pizza and coffee, but there's really no events on at the moment. But I've been probably spending a lot more time inside watching movies, catching up with some of the movies I've got in my collection. And I've got a lot of DVDs that I've collected over the years and hadn't got to, and I thought, well, now's a really good time to get through them, or certainly re-watch some once again. And one that I thought I might mention, I just absolutely love, it's OSS 117 Lost in Rio. Now, not a classic movie, but a fantastic movie set in the 1960s. The pride of French intelligence, Hubert Poncier de Bath, codenamed OSS 117, has a new mission, and it takes him to the Bossa Nova Brazil of the 1960s. Spectacular vision on this. They've really, really done it well. And he teams up with a rather sexy Mozad agent, and he sets out to capture a Nazi blackmailer. And of course, there is an embarrassing long list of World War II French collaborators as well as part of this, with a jubilantly retro scene, production design, along with a real flair for the cinematic vocabulary of the 1960s. This is an absolutely wonderful film. and kind of filled with a lot of French chauvinism and bigotry, set to a satirical background. If you get the chance to see it, OSS 117, you'll absolutely love it. In fact, we've even played some of the tunes from the movie, so it's worth checking out for your Saturday night viewing. Been doing a lot of that, a lot of popcorn, a lot of movies. And here's another track, the theme from OSS 117 on the Cocktail Nation.
This is Sonny Moon with Nutty, and you're listening to the Cocktail Nation.
You were meant to be here. start. Beginning.
Cocktail Nation with Nutty and Beginning Voyage. Next week on the show, a new book by Doug Broad, which is the definitive World War II movie collection. If you love your war movies, this is a book that you need in your collection to find some of the most amazing films. And let's face it, there's some amazing stories of 5 years of war in the 1940s, and of course the things that happened before and after. So you're going to absolutely love this. I'm going to leave you with Joey Altruder and a martini for Mancini. Stay here.